You'll be turning to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Now, last week, I entitled my message, Irresistible Life. And the reason I did is because I don't want to deal with the 5 points simply as the 5 points have been historically understood for some time. There is no doubt that it is true that grace is irresistible.
Yes, sir.
It is irresistible. But grace is irresistible only when God Almighty has foreordained that grace be irresistible in any certain circumstance.
Right.
Because mankind, that's you and I, by nature, are so depraved that we resist God Himself. That's how bad it is. The old nature always resists God. And even when God acts in grace, He does not act upon the old nature to then become willing. Scripture says it is God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
So last week I spoke about irresistible life, and specifically in that, what Joe was on it again this morning, where our Lord said, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. But this voice, or this life that is voiced by Christ, is not voiced on a whim. Not voiced on a whim. When Christ speaks life to a dead sinner, it is not a spur of the moment gift.
That's right.
When Christ gives this life and sovereignly speaks this life into a dead soul, it is not a reaction by Christ to anything spiritual in the person. Not a reaction. Christ said, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God.
Amen.
His voice gives the very life that is necessary.
Yes.
His voice gives the very life that He demands.
Yes.
But there is a reason why Jesus Christ gives this life. There's a reason why.
Yeah.
Look at John chapter 5 and verse 30. Now, I told you to turn to Genesis. We'll look there, but let me read this one verse, and I don't want to just try to quote it. John 5 and verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing.
Yeah.
Christ is not speaking as though He has some innate inability.
No.
That's not what this is talking about. Christ is saying here, I am not independent. That's what He's saying. I am not independent. This is not innate inability, but rather a willing, obedient subjection. This is what it is. He is, Jesus Christ the Son, is God of very God.
Yes, sir.
But the Son willingly subjected Himself as the Son of Man to the will of the Father.
Amen.
I can of my own self do nothing. Churches even put on their buildings, independent. If they knew the truth, they would say, absolutely dependent. Wouldn't we? And they take it as a moniker of glory or honor to be independent. That's what they really are. They are independent of God's grace and God's mercy and God's truth. Christ said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Now think about that. But who's He talking about? As He hears men speak? Is that the context? No. Here's what He says. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Here's the reason Jesus Christ gives life to whomsoever he will, because he came to do the will of the Father.
Amen.
That's why.
That's it.
Now turn to Genesis chapter 17. And let me read a few verses there. I'll begin in verse 15 for the sake of time. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her.
Amen.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
And I will bless her. You change her name to something else based upon my promise, not based upon anything in Sarah.
Right. Exactly.
It had nothing to do with Sarah's ability. It didn't even have to do with Sarah's inability. It had to do with God's will.
Amen.
It had to do with God's
Amen.
Will. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Therein is the crux.
Yeah.
And give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. You see, I will. You remember what Paul said, and he's merely actually only quoting from the Old Testament. God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Amen.
I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. That's what it says, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Now you compare that with Paul in Romans 4, where it says Abraham, being not weak in faith.
Yeah.
You ever read those passages and it confuse you some? Right here, Abraham speaking from within himself, his own abilities or inabilities. Yeah. As we all do on occasion. Being strong in faith does not have to do anything with us. It has to do with the will of God Almighty. That's what it has to do. But let me read on. I'm not even going to preach on that. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, notice, Sarah. He knew Mason. But it was hard for him to comprehend. That it, and shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And then look at this next verse. And Abraham said unto God. Now this first thing, he said within himself.
Yeah.
And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. You see that?
Amen.
You see what Abraham asked for?
That's what he said.
And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. See that? God says, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Laughter. Every time after this that Abraham called that boy's name, it reminded him of what he was in and of himself. That when he first heard this promise directly and succinctly.
Yeah.
He'd been told, you're going to have a son. Eleazar, he's my servant. He's not my flesh.
Yeah.
Is all of this going to pass on to him? And God said, no, I'll give it to your seed.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said? Now God takes the promise of the gospel and defines it, Mason, even further. Yes, you're going to have a son, but it's going to be through Sarah.
Amen.
Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. Was God dependent upon Abraham for this? Look at it. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Laughter, Isaac. And I will. Thank God he will.
Amen.
And I will. Thank God he will, even in spite of ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it? Because we don't always manifest strong faith.
Yeah.
Even though we've been given strong faith.
That's right.
Huh?
You're right.
We don't always manifest strong faith, even though we have as a gift strong faith. How do I know it's strong faith? Because God gave it.
Exactly.
Faith is a fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Now listen to me. I know men like to run to Romans 10. Faith cometh by hearing. That's not what the book says.
Yeah.
Cometh is actually in italics. You can read it there. Faith don't come by hearing. Faith is manifest by hearing.
Yeah.
Faith is called out by hearing. Faith is the fruit of the, what? Spirit.
Amen.
Faith is a characteristic of God and God Himself.
Yeah.
God must give men and women faith. And if they have faith, they have all the faith they need. Because Christ said, even faith the size of a grain of mustard seed can say what? Whatever it will.
Right.
Look. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. I've heard thee. Now, this is my words now. I've heard thee. I'm going to give you something for Ishmael, but it's not going to be what you wanted.
That's right.
Because it's not up to you.
Yep.
You know what it said? What did Abraham cry out for? Oh, that Ishmael might what? Live the kind of life I'm talking about, I mentioned, Joe talked about last week and this week. That's the kind of life he wanted for Ishmael.
Yeah, exactly.
He was already alive,
yeah.
Wasn't he? Physically alive. Ishmael is crying out for the covenant blessings to be, is crying out for the covenant blessings of God to be upon Ishmael. And God says no.
Exactly.
Right?
Amen.
No. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him. Even this, Abraham, didn't depend upon you.
That's right.
You see that?
Exactly.
God here is not. Now let me go back. God here is not moving reactionary.
You're right.
God is declaring his own sovereign will in this matter. You see it? I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. And let me tell you, probably 3,000 to 4,000 years later, some of his descendants flew buildings into towers in New York City. Did they not? At least if they weren't his physical descendants, they were his ideological descendants.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
But yet God said that was to him a blessing.
Yeah.
Look, this next word, but my covenant.
Yes.
Will I establish with who? Isaac.
Amen.
Which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And then the last part. Look at that last verse. The briefest one in all of this as far as we have verses. Look. And he left off talking with him. You see that? That's God.
Yes, sir.
God basically said, I'm done speaking. It's over with.
That's it. Yeah.
And God left off talking with him and God went up from Abraham. Now, I thought once I would just entitle this one Unconditional Election. Well, that's why I'm trying to talk about the 5 points. Somebody says, why did you start with irresistible grace or irresistible life? Because I wanted to.
There you go.
I had that liberty to do that, and I did that.
Yeah.
But there's a reason here. Life comes from the Son. But it doesn't come as even reactionary from the Son. The Son, when He gives life, is doing the will of the Father.
Amen, sir.
When He personally, literally, gives life to an individual, even now, today,
yes.
He's doing it because the Father willed that life to be given to that person before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Therefore, I don't want to simply talk about unconditional election. It's a valid thing. It's true. The election was unconditional based on us. But it is conditional based on God. But I don't want to talk simply about unconditional election. We've already seen it's unconditional right here, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's unconditional, wasn't it? None of this depended upon Abraham or Sarah or Ishmael or Isaac or anybody else.
Exactly.
It had to do with God Almighty's sovereign will. That's what it all had to do with. What I want to talk about is the elect disclosed. Because election is not simply some dry doctrine. As deep as it might be, Mason, unconditional election is far more than some dry doctrine that we preach about some distant eternity in which God did something. The elect are disclosed. They're manifested. They're revealed. It's not just a doctrine we preach about of something that took place in the past. Election has a fruition.
Yes, sir.
Just as initial life from Christ is not an end in itself. Christ gives spiritual life so that men and women might hear of himself, of Christ in the gospel.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's for. We don't run around. We don't know. Absolute ignorance runs around and says, I got life. I got life from God. Spiritual life. But I don't believe in the Son.
Exactly.
That's stupidity.
Yeah.
But yet life must come from Christ before you can ever believe him.
Amen.
But he gives life so that you can believe him.
Yes, sir.
But Christ gives life because the Father purposed for life to be given. We were chosen by God, as Paul says in, what is it, 2 Thessalonians, unto salvation.
Yes.
There are people who, when you begin to try to speak the truth of God, always say, they'll come up with this cliche. It's a religious cliche, even though it may be a doctrinal truth. Well, but if they're one of the elect, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
That's technically true. But it's not just if they're one of the elect, then in the end, everything will be okay. If they're one of the elect, God Almighty is going to bring them through every aspect of his sovereign purpose.
Amen.
The elect will be disclosed in time.
Yes.
Those who were eternally chosen by God the Father will be disclosed. They will be revealed. They will be manifested in time, or they never will spend eternity with Christ.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, sir.
They must be.
Amen.
I am not saying that some of the elect will not be disclosed and therefore will not spend time eternity with Christ. I'm saying that all the elect eventually, in time, will be disclosed.
Amen.
Now, he doesn't have to disclose it to me. But they're going to be disclosed. I have four things I want to give you this morning. The elect disclosed. We're talking about unconditional election, but it's much more than just some doctrine. One, it is God's will to make distinctive choice between men concerning who lives.
Yes, sir.
Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live. God said, no. Isaac will be the one that lives. You see that? Isn't that what this teaches? This is what this says.
Yes,
it is God's will to make distinctive choice between men or women or whatever the case may be. It is God's will to make distinctive choice between men concerning who lives. Isaac shall live and not Ishmael. This is up to God, not Abraham.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
oh, Ishmael was Abraham's flesh and blood.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't, and I'm not putting it down, but he wasn't even adopted.
No.
He was his own flesh and blood son.
Yes, sir.
He wanted this son to have covenant mercy.
Yes,
did he not?
Yeah.
That's what he's crying out for.
Yeah.
God said no. Didn't he?
Amen.
No. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac.
Amen.
See? John chapter 1, you know the verses. Christ, he made the world. He came into the world. It was made by him. And the world, what? Knew him not.
Exactly.
He came into his own. That's his own flesh and blood. To the Jewish people. And his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power. That is the right. The right to become the sons of God. Even to them that, what? Believe on his name, which were born. That's where it starts for us. That's all we know about is what? It starts in birth, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's where it all starts. And I mean the whole process. We talk about birth, someone coming in out of the womb. Birth, that is the word there, means fathered. Which were fathered, which were born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
Life starts when we're fathered. And with all of our advancements in science and health, we still haven't got over that hurdle yet.
You're right. Yeah.
Have we? And you're right. We were not going to. Because it still takes both sides. Doesn't it? Even though, Mason, we can draw it out of a test tube now, it's still got to be that in the test tube.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We cannot create life.
Exactly.
Can we? We can't create life. All we can do is join life to life.
Yeah.
And that's why we call it, what is it? Yeah. We don't create. What do they call it? What's the word? I done lost me now. Procreation. I think it's a man's feeble attempt to try to get some glory.
Right.
Ask Sarah about procreation if it was up to her.
Yeah.
Huh? Ask any woman who's barren. Is it up to you?
Yeah.
God Almighty's got to put life in your body. And life in the body of a man. If you're a woman, in your body. A man, and life in your body. And those two things in some way must come together to form a person.
Yeah.
Must they not?
Yeah.
And who is in sovereign charge of that?
Exactly.
Pray tell you. We cannot create one sperm. And we cannot create one egg. We have to use what God Almighty has given us.
Exactly.
Or we have nothing. And this is all according to God's will. John 10 says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Abraham said, Ishmael, let him live, Lord. Let it be him. God says, no.
That's it.
No. That is sobering. Because I have two Ishmaels that I cared very much about. And I prayed for them and prayed for them. And I got tired of praying for them. I said, I'm not going to pray for them anymore. And then I found myself praying for them and praying for them and praying for them. You ever been there? I'm fed up with even asking. I'm not going to ask anymore. And you do. You do. But you know what? It is not up to us. I mean, really, really, to sit around and argue as to whether election is unconditional or not, have you not read the book?
Exactly. That's it.
They have.
Yeah.
The problem isn't that men and women haven't read the book, it's that they refuse to bow down to thus saith the Lord in the book.
Amen.
That's where the rub lies.
Yeah.
I don't need to argue to this group whether election is unconditional. It is unconditional. None of this is conditioned upon men, is it? Right here. None of it's conditioned. Even when a godly man, a man with faith, says, oh, let this be the one, God says no. God says no. And it may be that way in our lives. Son of man, can these bones live? What is the only answer? Lord God, thou knowest. They can. And they will,
yeah,
if he breathes life into them. But if he doesn't, you can preach all day long. And it may cause great convulsions in society, but there will never be life apart from God Almighty's sovereign purpose in election, in eternity, being fulfilled in time. You hear what I say? In time. It is Isaac, not Ishmael. It is God, not Abraham. You see that? It's God. God's the one that determines all this. Secondly, election is not just God's choice before time. The choice took place before time.
Exactly.
Did it not?
Yeah.
We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
Election is not just God's choice before time, though. It breaks forth from God in time in creating power. Look at verse 16. And I will bless her. It lets me know two things. Now, I know this was based upon God's purpose, Mason, before the world began. Because God's not coming up with things as time rolls on.
Yeah, right.
He's decreed the end. When? Go ahead. From the beginning. He's not making it up as he goes along.
Exactly.
He's decreed the end even from the beginning. But he decreed the end from the beginning, and yet everything in between is in the same accord with that same sovereign will. It is the disclosure of that eternal will of God. So again, election is not God's choice, is not just God's choice before time. It breaks forth from God in creating power. I will bless her. That lets me know two things. One, it's absolutely sure. And it was still future, even at this time. Right? Was still future, but it was still absolutely sure.
Amen.
I will bless her and give thee a son also. Why? Because he knew he already had one son.
Yeah.
Of his own flesh.
Yeah.
Did he not? Of her. Yea, I will bless her.
Amen.
Oh, that God might enable me just to bow down and say, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it.
Because God says, I will, I will. He will.
Amen.
And he's not depending upon me. Amen. He's not looking down to see if I have enough faith to let him do this.
Right.
And yet that's all we hear today, isn't it? That's the magical answer to all hard text.
Yeah.
Well, yes, God will, if we will. Isn't that stupid? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to state a fact. That's stupid.
Yeah.
The God Almighty who speaks everything, who spoke, Joe, everything into existence by His sovereign fiat of voice, can't speak life into a dead soul because that dead soul won't let Him?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
You're right.
That's no God.
Exactly.
That's no God. That's an idol. That's in a figment of men and women's imagination. That is the Antichrist doctrine. That's what that is. No, it's elective, becomes forth. It breaks forth an elective power in both, in those he rejected and in those he selected. You can turn back to it. I'm not going to turn there. Romans 9, verse 17 and 18, speaking of Pharaoh. And did God receive Pharaoh or reject Pharaoh? He rejected Pharaoh, did he not?
Yes,
and he says, for this same purpose, what's the next few words? Have I raised thee up.
Amen.
See that?
Amen.
The remonstrants back yonder at the Senate Dort, they wanted to start with the reprobation. As I told you, the chips were stacked against them to start with.
Yeah.
One, because the Dutch Reformed Church wasn't going to let them come in and tell them what truth was, but it's even further than that, because this book's already established truth.
Exactly. That's it.
But let me tell you something. Seeing that there is an unconditional election, there is also an unconditional reprobation as well. And I am not ashamed of that.
No.
I'm not scared of that.
No. Exactly.
God said, I've rejected Pharaoh, and I raised him up for this same purpose. And notice what Paul says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will.
Yeah.
And what's the next phrase? And whom he will, he
hardeneth.
Hardeneth.
Amen.
I don't need to explain that. I will not say that that means, well, God just lets them go. Because he didn't say, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, the rest I just let go. That's not what he said, is it? He said, I will have mercy on whom I will, and whom I will harden.
Amen.
So election is not just God's choice before time. It breaks forth from God in creating power. But there are those he chose. That's the selected side. For there are those he rejected. That's the reprobation side. Turn to Psalms 100. There's just one verse there. The 100th Psalm. The rest of them I will just mention, but I want to read this one. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We know why.
Yes, sir.
This is not just some dry command, Mason. Just make a joyful noise just because we ought to. No, make a joyful noise because God Almighty is to be praised.
Amen.
For who he is. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God.
Amen.
It is he that hath made us. Do you see that?
Amen.
And as if it needed to be said, but we are so dull, it needs to be said.
Exactly.
It is he that made us, and not we ourselves.
Amen.
Even when we have faith, we got to still be told and reminded of that.
Exactly right.
Even when God says, through his people of old, God made us. We still have to be told, and not we ourselves.
Exactly.
It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Amen.
That's just the truth.
Amen.
Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, and I won't take time to read it. You know the verse, but it's this. Here's the words. Created in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Here. Amen. Created in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Not offered to be in Christ Jesus if we would. Wasn't it? Christ is not offered. Listen, somebody, people argue, well, don't you believe in the free offer of the gospel? No! No, I don't offer the gospel to anybody. We are to proclaim it, to preach it, to sound it forth. You don't offer God's gospel to anybody.
Exactly.
You preach it. How beautiful are the feet of them that what? Offer the gospel of peace. Mm-mm. Preach. Just say, this is the way it is. Either you believe it or you don't. That's what it boils down to. Either you believe it or you don't. One more verse. Psalm 65:4. What did he say? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. That's glorious, is it not?
Yeah.
But that's not it. And causeth to approach unto thee. Why? Because everyone he chose.
Amen.
Will
yes.
Approach unto him.
Yeah.
Everyone. Well, as long as they're elect, it'll be okay. No, if they're elect, if he chose them, they're going to approach unto him. If they never approach unto him, they were never chosen.
Exactly. That's it.
My question is not determining who was the chosen. My question is, who's being caused to approach unto him?
Amen.
Those who are, were chosen.
That's it.
And that's where it's at. That's where it's at. John 15:16. I'm not going to turn to it, but ye have not chosen me.
Amen.
That's what he said.
Exactly.
He did not say, I chose you first. He said, you did not choose me.
Amen.
I chose you. We didn't elect Christ. Did we?
Nope.
We didn't elect Christ. That brings me to my third point. Think about it. Election is of covenant design. Verse 19. Now back in Genesis 17. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. Indeed. Now, how much plainer can God make it?
Exactly.
I will, she shall, indeed.
Amen.
You know? I mean, Mason, what other words could even God have said to man? Some heavenly language? We can't even comprehend our own language, let alone God's language. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. Election is by covenant design. I could take time here and preach on covenant for a long time. I'm not going to, but just a couple things. One, a covenant is a compact. It's an agreement. In the scripture, one of the first times we see a covenant ever being made, it was made by cutting. And actually, that's what the Hebrew word actually means, a cutting. A cutting. A compact, an agreement by cutting. We see it mentioned in Genesis 15, where Abraham was told, when he said, the only person I've got is Eliezer, or my servant, and he's not even my flesh and blood. God said, your seed will I raise up. Your seed. That's the one I'm going to bless. Your seed. He hadn't defined it as which seed yet, Mason. He just said, your seed. It said, and Abraham believed in the Lord. It was counted to him for righteousness. Little did Abraham know what else was to come down the pike, did he? God suffered him to have a child by his own body. And then God turned around and said, that's not going to be the one, no.
Exactly.
It's not going to be the one. But in that, Abraham, God said, I've given this land to your seed. This land. And he told him the signpost. If we were existent then and we had the things we look through, the people who do all that, come out and survey a piece of land, Mason, you could have got it down to the point of every place that the land that God had given to Abraham was promised to him. And God said, Abraham said, how shall I know? How shall I know? And I got to turn there. Look at it, verse 8 of chapter 15. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and he divided them in the midst. That means he cut them right down the middle.
Exactly.
That's what it's talking about. And laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. This sacrifice here, this offering here, was not to be wasted in any way.
Right.
You just think about that. That's the message coming up. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. Why? Because God's about to do something. He wants Abram to know for sure you got no part in it.
Exactly.
Isn't that true? You got no part. He put him in a deep sleep. Everything else God does now. And you go on and read it. And look at verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces.
That's right.
In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram.
Amen.
You see that? You see God? And who was passing between the pieces?
Yeah.
What was it? A smoking furnace and a burning lamp.
This
is said by some, and I believe it, is to be the same God, because that's who it is. It's God himself who was with them Israelites in that cloud by day and that fire. Well, that's what a smoking furnace. You ever made a gnat smoke? You build you a little fire, then you put a bunch of green wood or green grass or something on it, and what's it do, Mason? It makes this smoking furnace. A smoke, a cloud. But then also passed through it was what? A burning lamp. You see, God is not light to everybody.
That's right. That's exactly.
And isn't that what it was said about the cloud and the fire?
Yeah.
It was darkness to some.
Yeah.
But it was light to the Israelites. This word is chock full of the fact that God Almighty chooses some and not others.
Amen.
That God Almighty has mercy on some and others he hardens.
Amen.
He refuses to let them see anything.
Yeah.
The scripture's clear. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing.
Amen.
We don't deceive. What men? That ain't fair. What they really say is, I deserve more.
That's what it is.
That's what men really mean. I don't deserve even that.
Exactly.
I deserve to be put in hell and God to laugh at me when he does it. You get what you deserve. You want dessert?
Yeah.
You want what you've earned? Here, go to hell.
There you go.
And have me forsake you forever.
Yeah.
That's what I deserve.
That's it.
Man is so depraved that he wants to blame God for his own sin and rebellion against God.
Yeah,
and when God says, I don't owe it to you, he wants to look in the face of God and say, that ain't fair. That's what man does. That's what I do by nature.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you do by nature. It's covenant design.
Yeah.
Now, I got to move on. The covenant, according to Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9, the covenant is personified. There is no doubt Isaiah 42, 1 through 9 speaks of Jesus Christ, because he, even when in his days of his condescension, quoted parts of that those verses and said, that's me.
That's right.
Yeah, didn't he?
Yeah.
And God said through Isaiah there in that thing, I will give thee for a covenant. You see, this covenant was made between the Father and the Son, not between the Father and mankind.
You're right. That's it.
This is what Earl used to call, and others have called it, the unilateral covenant.
Amen.
So much so that Paul, in speaking of it in Galatians 3, talking about the law, even making mention of this chapter 15, the law, which would be 430 years, because he added on the time between the law was actually going to be given. He said this promise was made to Abraham, how? In Christ.
Amen.
It was made to his seed, singular, not seeds as of many, but it's Christ.
Amen.
Somebody said, but that's the land promise. It don't matter. It was given to Christ.
Amen.
This is the whole thing.
That's right.
I've heard preachers say, well, who cares about that land? Christ did. Yeah. And Christ does, because God gave it to him.
Amen.
That's what he said. And he says, Paul says in that chapter, that even the law that was given 430 years after cannot disannul the promise.
Amen.
And he even speaks there of the covenant. And he says, if you're a Gentile and God's given you faith, you are one of Abraham's children.
Yes, sir.
And heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
Why? Because the Son. Listen, the Son holds the covenant responsibilities. Joe, you read it. John 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also, what? Them also, they must come. Them also, I must try to get them there somehow. No. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also, I must bring. He's responsible for my salvation. That's what it is. He's responsible. Who was responsible to bring forth the child unto Abraham and Sarah? Abraham and Sarah? God said, I'll do it.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir.
I'll do it. What if Abraham and Sarah get in a scuff? God's going to make sure they make up.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, you bless them. You bet they will. They'll do what's necessary. Because why? It depends on God, not on them.
Exactly.
What if Sarah says, you go stay in the other tent tonight? Then it'll happen tomorrow night. No, wait a minute. But my covenant, verse 21, will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. Now all the marital squabbles in the world, Joe, will prevent that right there.
Exactly.
Say what you will.
Yeah.
And there was a marital squabble.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. After the boy was born, there was a big marital squabble. What was that marital squabble over? This other son called Ishmael.
That's exactly right.
And Paul speaks of that too and says, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, because the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free. In other words, Abraham was not only revealed the election and that it was based upon God himself, he was made finally to walk in it.
Yes, sir.
Because Sarah come along and they had their marital squabble. She seen that boy mocking. She seen Ishmael mocking Isaac. She went to Abraham and said, put her and the boy out.
That's right. right.
And it says it grieved him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
But what did he do? He put her out. You don't mix law and grace. It's not, well, come on in. You believe you're saved by the law because you might be one of the elect. How about that, Mason? Might be one of the elect. So what does it matter if they believe in salvation by the law? God's going to save them. It's all unconditional election anyway, right? Come in and preach whatever you want. Is that the way it's designed?
No, sir.
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Why? Because the Son holds covenant responsibilities. The Son will uphold these distinctions. Yes. He said in Matthew 10, verses 34 through 36, "Think not that I am come to send or bring peace."
Amen.
I am not come to bring peace, but a sword. What's a sword? It's a cutting thing.
Exactly.
The covenant cuts in two. It distinguishes. It separates.
Yeah.
If people could just read that verse with open eyes and a receptive heart, they'd look right there and say, "Huh, unconditional election." Well, you know, the part of you of Tulip is true after all.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because that's what it teaches.
Yes, sir.
Christ right there says, "I did not come to save everybody."
Exactly.
But it's more than just not save everybody. I'm going to set at variance those that are not saved against those who are saved.
Amen.
There's going to be a battle between these two groups. And it'll take place right within the family unit.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
What do you see happen right here? Yeah. This is not some new doctrine. It's not something, Joe, we got to pick out in an obscure verse here or an obscure verse there. It's all throughout God's Word.
Amen.
This great covenant distinguishing election.
Yes, sir.
God chooses some and he rejects. He rejects others.
Amen.
I used to say it, and you folks were patient. Some of you anyway, some of you didn't know any better. You coming along with me, you were just learning as I was coming along. I talk about, you know, God has the elect and he passed by everybody else. That's wrong. The elect are the ones that have been passed by.
Amen.
They're the ones that's been passed over.
You
see, it's not just God chose some and the others he just ignored. No, he rejected them. He said, "Jacob I loved. Esau," what's it say? "I hated him."
Amen.
That's my God.
Yes, sir.
"Even when I cry with Abraham, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." I know that it's absolutely in God's hands as to who lives and who doesn't. And it's a fixed thing. I can't do anything to get God to work this up or all of a sudden cause some whim or reaction in God. If I just pray enough, Lord, if you ever thought, I'll just be more faithful. I don't mean to bring her into this. Well, I do too. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean to. Penny and I have often, we've talked about ourselves. If we could just have children and bring them up the way we know now. You know what? You know what the problem is? They'd be just as corrupt as the first four was. And we would make just as many, if not more, and more serious, if not so, more serious mistakes than we did the first time.
Right.
You know that? Oh, if I could just have it over to do again, have it to do over again. It's all dependent on God.
Amen.
I've looked at people and thought, man, look, their children believe in God, mine don't. But look where I was. I was in the midst of free will Arminian religion up in the countryside.
Yeah.
And God sends a man from 10, 15 miles away to show up there in the countryside. That man right there. To that one place.
Yeah.
Why? Because God says, "I'll do it, and I'm going to do it at that set time."
Mm-hmm.
There's solid hope in this covenant. You remember what David says? What is it? 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 through 5. Read that sometimes. This was David's dying words. And we all put stock in a person's, or, you know, we want to know, what's these last words, right? These were the last words of David. "God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, and this is all my hope and all my desire, even though it be not so with my house.
Amen.
This ain't some new thing. It ain't God looked down and said, boy, these people are really bad, so when I send Christ, he's going to have to make a division. The division started at the get-go.
Exactly.
Between Cain and Abel.
Yes, sir.
Did it not?
Yeah.
The division was right there in the beginning. Why? Because God said, there's the seed of the woman and there's the seed of the serpent.
Amen.
There's two different seeds.
That's it.
But let me end with this. Number four. That was number three. Number four, covenant design includes time absolutes. My problem is I am so impatient. I want to see it now.
You're right.
Hmm?
Yep. That's it.
Or, if it's the opposite, I don't want to hear about it until.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if there's somebody we care about, Lord, save them today.
Yeah.
Right? Do you ever pray for God to save somebody next week?
Exactly.
God, give them another 5 days.
Did
you ever do that? That's stupid, ain't it? Why? Oh, but I'll tell you this, the same goes for the opposite.
Yep.
Lord, if they're a reprobate, just let me hang on to this hope.
Mm-hmm.
See, the whole point is, when you got nothing but a valley full of dry bones, we don't know.
Exactly.
Only God knows. And even when you preach the gospel, a little hope may seem to arise. The bones come together, right? The sinews join the bones together. And then there's meat, there's muscle that comes upon the bones. And then skin covers the bones. But what do you have even when you have all that? A dead corpse.
Exactly.
It gives you hope. Because, Mason, you see some of the things of God having been come to pass. But it's still going to take God to come along in the wind, even while you're preaching. Even preaching to the wind. Blow! But the wind must still blow.
Amen.
And if the wind doesn't blow, guess what you're stuck with?
Yep.
A valley full of dead corpses.
Exactly.
Right? A valley full of dead corpses. There's covenant design. This covenant design includes time absolutes. There is absolute necessity. Hebrews 4:6 says some must enter in. You know what it says? Some must enter in. Luke chapter 19 and verse 5. Turn back there. You know this one. Luke chapter 19. Bear with me. I know I'm going over a little. Luke 19. What it says. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
Called his name, didn't he?
Yeah.
Zacchaeus. Make haste and come down. Now, isn't that glorious? And that's what I try to preach that almost all. You know, do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow.
That's right.
Make haste. And what? Come down.
Yeah.
But what else? For today, I must.
You
do you see that? Why? Because he's responsible for this.
Yes, sir.
He's the one responsible to see that this meeting and this gathering takes place. For today, you must let me into your house. You come on down and do it right now, Zacchaeus, because today I must abide in your house.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this, if need be, Christ would have climbed that tree and kicked him out.
That's exactly right.
If that's what had been ordained to take place. He kicked one off his horse.
Yep.
Kicked him off his ass onto the ground. His name was Saul of Tarsus. Did he not?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes, why is it that way for one and not the other? Because God ordained it so at that set time.
Exactly.
That's why. Why is it some seem to come in such joy and happiness and delight as they come?
Yeah.
Right? And then others come and it's like a struggle and a battle and doubts and fears. Why? Because that's the way God purposed to do it at that set time for that set person.
Exactly.
Here's a couple examples of it. One, Paul said this, God who separated me from my mother's womb.
Amen.
John chapter 4 and verse 4 of Jesus Christ himself, it says, he must needs go through Samaria. Why? There was one woman that was shacking up with a man down there that God Almighty was going to give life to. Wasn't it? She'd had how many husbands already? Five, wasn't it? I mean, you know, like you said one time, you know, after five, you start saying, maybe I'm the problem.
There you go.
You know, y'all didn't, somebody, I thought y'all laughed more about that. I guess if you've been there five times, for most of us, two, been enough, ain't it? Five times! And the man she was living with at that time. And what did Jesus say? You better go home and get married right now today if you want to be saved. He gave her that life and that living water. Now, what I said, life and that living water. Where? Right there, where she was, just as she was.
That's right.
That woman that those men brought before Christ to see if Christ would have her stoned, she had been caught in adultery in the very act. And Christ looked at her and said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see that? This ain't about cleaning up. This ain't about getting better. It ain't about, God don't need our efforts in this matter. As I said, run to Christ today, right now.
Yes.
Oh, he's talking to the lost now. And I'm talking to you. And to me.
Yes, sir.
Run to Christ right now. Flee to Him just like you are. Just like you are. But I'm a believer and I've so miserably failed. Yeah, and you will continue to. You will. You will fall flat on your face. But run to Him just like you are. What's the summary? Here's the summary. Go back to Genesis 17. And God left off talking with him. That's the summary, ain't it?
Yeah.
Now, when I took some of them classes, I was shown, you know, you start with your introduction, you have your body, a sermon, you set it all up, you work on it, then you have your summary. Well, this is the summary. God say so has settled the matter. He will say no more about it.
That's right.
That's what it is. God is not arguing with us trying to convince this, that this is true. God has said it. It is so. Then he has to make us believe it. Now you hear what I said? Look what he did to Abraham.
Yes, sir.
Abraham wasn't a happy camper here. Was he? And when you see someone you care about and you see it as though maybe Ellen, they're one of the reprobate after all. Maybe not. Don't make you no happy camper, does it? Huh? But God says, I've said enough about it. I said I'll do it. That's the way it'll be. And then what's God do? He will. Listen to me. He will force you to bow to it.
Yes, sir.
Right. Look at what Abraham had to do concerning Sarah. He'll force you to bow to it. Paul, it's no wonder that Paul acknowledges God in this matter and says the potter has power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. And he didn't make it just back yonder. He is even making it now.
That's right.
And it is no wonder that Paul says this in Philippians. He says, we are the circumcision which worship Christ Jesus in the Spirit. And what? And have no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
None. None. At any time, under any circumstances, for any occasion, for anything.
That's right.
In other words, let me put it this way. The election is unconditional. God will discover, reveal, manifest His elect at His time, as He pleases, in spite of us.
Exactly.
Now you hear what I said?
Yeah.
In spite of us. Because we always either want it now or we want it another way.
Yeah.
And God says, no, I've done purpose how I'm going to do it and the time I'm going to do it, and that's the way it's going to be done. And you know what? He makes you wait on it.
Yes, sir.
On it.
Oh, yeah.
He makes you wait. Father, may we be bowed by your Spirit to your gospel, to the truth, your truth as it is in Christ Jesus, But Lord, make it not just some cold, dry thing, but make us rejoice in it, to be happy for it, to be glad in it. And Lord, give us boldness by your grace to clearly speak it. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.